Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
If Saudi Arabia had some signal that after months of low oil prices, it could compel an agreement on limiting production among major OPEC and non-OPEC producers, it was sadly disappointed by what happened at the meeting in Doha, Qatar over the weekend. Russia and Saudi Arabia put on a good show of cooperation in advance of the meeting, and oil prices rose all last week. But the Iranian oil minister was absent from this meeting, and an expectation that the Russian minister could convince Iran to go along with a freeze went nowhere, and in the end, there was no deal. Now prices are plummeting. Dan Dicker, oil analyst for The Street and oilprice.com, and author of Shale Boom, Shale Bust, The Myth of Saudi America. So, Dan, who wants this current situation anyway?
Who wants it? I guess consumers want it.
Sure.
The more pathetic these meetings turn out to be, the more incompetent the oil producers seem to be when they come together to try and cobble together even the lowest bar of agreements on production and fail. I mean, I guess it's the consumers who win when this happens.
And Saudi Arabia will continue production at this level. This was only going to be a freeze. If it hurt anyone, it would have been the Iranians, who are trying to gear up post-sanctions and wanted no part of anything that was going to force them to keep from coming
online. Yeah, the bar was – it's hard to believe how exceedingly low the bar was. The expectations were going in that they couldn't even reach. I mean, the production freeze that they were looking for were January levels, which are 400,000 barrels a day higher than where they're producing now. Now, to imagine the Russians being able to produce more at this point is zero, and the Saudis being able to produce more at this point is close to zero. So the ability for them to apply a freeze and actually stick to it would have been very, very good. But again, it's like a family meeting. Like, everybody sort of has these ideas and arrangements before grandmama dies, and then everybody gets together to try and divvy up what's left, and nobody can agree on anything. All the memos that went out before the meeting happened seemed to go out the window. Nobody seems to understand what the other guy is trying to do. Everybody walks into a meeting room thinking there's going to be something that happens, some agreement, and there is none. And everybody walks out disappointed and confused.
And there's no secrets here. Saudi production cost is something like $3.50 a barrel. The Russian production cost is something like $4 a barrel. They can continue to pump this way, although I read today that the Russians are actually exceeding the production of the Saudis right now.
Yes, the Russians are clearly the number one producer of oil in the world. But they have a problem because their economy is so deeply in the skids that at this point they do not have the money to continue to increase production here. In fact, there's been a big movement inside the Russian government to tax very heavily the three majors, Lukoil and Rosneft and Gazprom, in order to keep their economy afloat, because the only economic winners that the Russian economy has right now are the large oil companies, but they're going to really bite off a leg in order to feed the rest of the body here, because it is the Russian oil companies that support the economy as well. So they're in a very, very tight spot here where they really could use a higher price for oil, despite the fact that their recovery costs are very low. They really need a very large margin of profits in order to keep their economy afloat.
What about U.S. production? It's relatively high and actually has been undergirding this whole inability to reach a settlement on a freeze. I mean, the U.S. production is causing a surplus.
Indeed, but here in the United States, we do not get state support for oil production, and in fact, we are on the downslope of production after gaining 3 million barrels a day in the course of the last 3 years. We are now 700,000 barrels below the peak of production, which was in March of last year. So there is an effect of low oil prices here in the United States, where production has not only begun to roll over but begun to accelerate on the downside, where we see more bankruptcies of oil companies, less production, a huge drop in CapEx. In other words, the money that you spend to get oil out of the ground, that has dropped significantly, 50% in some places, 70% in other places. And this low oil price is doing what we call, I guess, a natural rebalancing of the oil market. So those that don't have the money don't increase production. In fact, it starts to drop. And in fact, the supply has begun already to start dropping everywhere.
In the meantime, the price of oil is a form of stimulus on the global economy. That's what it's working out to be.
Indeed. I think that there is a lot is made of the stimulus of low oil prices on the global economy. And I'm not sure how much it helps or hurts consumers in the end, because the savings from low gas prices, low oil prices haven't really turned out to be the boon for the consumers that most economists thought it was going to be. On the other side, we do have an economy here in the United States that has lost a couple hundred thousand really good paying jobs in the oil sector. There's a lot of obvious revenue that comes into the U.S. government from a robust oil business here in the United States. I know we don't like to see it, but it's true. And in fact, the United States wouldn't mind, I think at this point, a little bit higher oil price too. Nothing, you know, $120 or $130, but I think the U.S. economy would benefit, in fact, from a $65, $70 oil price at this point.
Dan Dicker, oil analyst for The Street and oilprice.com. Thanks so much, Dan.
Thank you, John.